Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's a Friday. I have maybe 35 minutes to an hour to record, hopefully, but maybe less than that. So let's kick it off. New comics that are in the collection. If I remember correctly, did I cover? I don't think I covered the My Comic Shop order on here. I don't think I did, but I probably should cover that at a later time. But I'll cover what I just bought recently. I got Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies number 91, and this is from 1940, and it's the first appearance of Wile E. Coyote. I was very happy to get this. it was a bidding thing. And I had looked at the trend and I was like, I ain't gonna win this, but I'm gonna put an extra 100 on there because I'm not gonna monitor. I'm gonna put another 100 bucks on the bid that I already had that I was winning because I looked at comparatively what was happening and the conditions of the books, and I was like, this is, I need to jump on this if, and this is a good price. And I was very happy to get this, the first appearance of Wile E. Coyote. Roadrunner's not in it. It's got Chicken Hawk. I already looked through it. I'm very pleased with the packaging and the guy who shipped it, or woman. I don't know who shipped it, but I was very pleased with that. I picked up Punisher 2099 number 19. It looks like it's got a female Punisher 2099 on it. I like the cover. That's the appeal. Plus, I have as one of my goals, but it's been a low priority goal to finish all the 2099 comics. I started hot and heavy on them as they were coming out, and towards the end, or towards like a midpoint, I started to lose interest when it was coming out, and money was a little tighter. So I decided to drop them. I picked up a Superman family that I was missing. It was 177. It has Supergirl on the cover. It has a character with a star on his chest, and it says, "She's mine. I'll take Supergirl away from Earth forever." And then it looks like the rest of it is like purposely truncated on the cover. But it says, "How can Superman marry Lana while he marries Lois?" And who is Jimmy Olsen's secret love? So, yeah, this one looks like it's gonna be a banger. we have this one. I've been on that James Bond kick, and I found out some very interesting information. So I posted it on on Twitter, and this is Showcase number 40. Three, which I'm missing. It's the first appearance of James Bond in America. And the reason I say that is because there's a Classics Illustrated UK that did the Dr. No. And then I found out some interesting information, and I'll tell you about it. There, somebody posted. See, sometimes Twitter is just amazing. Like, you find somebody that replies and with meaningful information that you don't know, and I didn't even know this was a reprint, so I was going to seek out the Classics Illustrated UK edition. Matter of fact, I was looking at a reprint, and not the original, I guess it was reprinted, but it was still going to cost like 30 bucks, and I really wanted the original, but I didn't see any available. But I didn't know that DC bought the rights and they sent them this to print. So then I also found out that DC had the rights for 10 years, and this book sold so bad, and it came in, I think it was a several years after the actual movie, so the interest in it was little to none, and the drawings that were on the cover and in the book did not look like Sean Connery or Ursula Andrews. I think that's how you say it, Andrews. But it could be Andress or she's amazingly beautiful. A matter of fact, I just saw her in Casino Royale, the original, which is a ridiculous movie. I don't know why they made it. It was, I think it's the first James Bond movie, but it has like an all-star cast. It is worth watching just for the Bond girls, because there are hundreds of them. There are beautiful women in this one. And it's star-casted. So if you got Peter Sellers playing James Bond, you have David Niven playing James Bond, you have Woody Allen playing James Bond, except he's like the nephew of James Bond. It's so bizarre because it's like Niven retires, and then looks like Max von Sydow played M, but I don't remember what actor it was. They go to his facility and they try to recruit David Niven to come back because Russia, China, England, and the United States all had representation, and there's an organization that was killing agents around the world using women. Okay, so that's where a lot of the women come in. But it has Orson Welles too. Orson Welles is one of the villains, and that villain is the same villain that's in Casino Royale with Daniel Craig. But it's fascinating to see, but it's so weird, and it ends in a clusterfuck. I mean, it's so bizarre. The Peter Sellers pieces of it were really good. At least I thought, because he was playing like Ursula Andrews was manipulating him to go gamble against the guy that was Orson Welles. That part was really good. The David Niven part was very weird because he came back to take M's place because M died, and he met the daughter of Moneypenny, and he found his own daughter. Founds out he had a kid with Mari Hari, who's a famous real person in real life that was a spy. And so it was Mari Hari Bond. So she's a character in it. And there's an odd scene at the beginning where David Niven goes to M's wife's house, and she is like trying to have sex with Niven, and so are all the daughters. It's so bizarre. He's got daughters that look like they're 18 or higher, except one gets in the tub with him and she's 17. Ooh. It is such a weird movie. Especially in today's world. But so I don't know how I got off on that, but Dr. No is a pretty good, it's the first James Bond in canon movie, and it was decent. It's basically an Asian man that's the villain working on an island, and he's got radioactive stuff. And Bond has Ursula Andrews in it, and he meets her, and she's a shell. Like she collects shells because her father taught. Her father died on the island, but she still goes to the island. And she says there's a dragon on the island, but it's really a protective tank painted like a dragon and breathing fire. And they capture Bond and Ursula Andrews, and you know how it all ends. But yeah, that's I've been on this Bond thing quite a bit, and some of the purchases that you'll see that I bought from my comic shop will reflect that in a future episode. because I'm not going to do it today because it's a lot. I bought a lot at my comic shop. I'm going to go on to one question because I want to get into advanced previews with the death of Superman. So we'll go to my bookmarks. Let's see what we got. Okay, I already answered that one. Trying to find, I answered that one. This is from Dallo. Question, Dallo Spicer on Twitter. Which book or series do you wish you could blank from your memory so you could enjoy it all over again for the first time? None. I like to have those memories, and the way those memories work are even fascinating on a reread. I wouldn't want to re-experience something because it's almost better the second time. Almost 99.99% of the time for me. I can't explain why. I think it's my mind tries to set itself, like if I read a 40s comic, like my mind tries to go back and set itself in 40s time period. And it does that like with things I've already read, it goes back to like where I was as a kid, and it kind of I set my time frame in that, and I get to like re-experience it. It's such an odd thing, but I don't ever go into a book saying like, oh, this isn't as good as when I experienced it for the first time. It always is as good or better. So that's my answer for that one. Following on from a recent wizard list you read out to name your top five artists and writers still alive today. I like Mark Russell a lot. I share a lot of his beliefs and what he talks about politically, and I think his writing is very tight. I still enjoy Matt Kent very, very much. He's very talented writer and artist. Ed Brubaker is a fantastic writer. Artists, it's really tough now because there are a lot of artists now that I'm just seeing for the very first time that Marvel and DC are hiring, and I think they're phenomenal. I mean, I don't know where they got these guys or if they're paying them well or not paying them well, and they get them from overseas or what. But it just looks really, really good. I'm amazed at the new artists that have hit this new pocket of Marvel and DC. And you could just go through a previews magazine and see some of this. Like, what was the one I ran across recently? It was Daredevil. What was that war called? It's just an amazing Spider-Man gang war. The artist is Sergio Davila. I thought his art was so damn good. I almost want to give this book a five out of five just because sometimes like art doesn't like blow me away, but it does. I thought Liam Sharp, even though everything was darker and muted in XO Unconquered, was really good. But as far as artists living today, it's easier for me to do writers because I've always said this, writer matters more to me because I could read a book that the art is not to my liking and still love the book because the writing is tight. But it's very rare, except for maybe this Daredevil gang war, that there's an art style that it just appeals to me so much that it overrides the writing. I'm pretty much 80% writer, 20% artist in terms of a comic book, because I could have really bad art and such a good story. Sometimes photo referenced art takes me out. Sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on the artist. I love artists like Tom Scioli. I think Tom Scioli is still one of my favorites. As a matter of fact, I missed one of his Kickstarters, and I'm very pissed off about it. But I'm also saddened by one of my artists that I really liked, that just passed away, Ed Piskor. He committed suicide. There was some scandalous information that was released by a 17-year-old girl, and he contested it in his suicide note. When I read the suicide note, I was pretty much devastated. I came home on Monday. I think it was April Fool's Day. I came home to watch basketball early because it was the women's basketball game, Iowa, and I can't think of the other team, but it was a big game. It was the rematch of last year's championship, and I was really excited to see it. And I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw an Ed Moore post something about Ed Piskor, and it made it sound like he was dead. And I was like, that's a fucking cruel ass April Fool's joke or something. And I started looking, and I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking real. And it hit hard for me. Like, we have great people that have been in the comics medium die, and I think about it a lot, but it doesn't like overwhelm my emotions because I don't really know them, and I love their work, but I think they lived a long life. Well, Ed Piskor was 41, I believe, and I had met him way back at one of my first cons when he was pimping his wares on WYSIWYGs, or and I bought them. Like, I was just curious. He had a way of selling his material to me, and I became more of a fan with cartoonist kayfabe, and I didn't get in Hop Family Tree, but I did love X-Men Grand Design. I thought it was amazing piece of reference material. And I liked his artwork. And then he did Red Room, and I was blown away by Red Room. Like, it just is a crazy world imagined by him. And I think he did a lot of dark web research for it. I don't know whether his allegations are true. It's he said, she said type things, or but he was angry, and they were going after his family, the media, and everything. It was a really awful thing to see, and it's something that you would never, you watch Jim Rugg and Ed Piskor, and you with their banter towards one another, but I just can't imagine this happening, like somebody would take his own life like that. But they had canceled one of his art shows, and I guess he was being attacked left and right on social media. And I don't know how strong a person he comes across as a strong personality, but sometimes you come across that way, but you're fragile on the emotional end. And I don't know. I just wish he wouldn't have taken his life, 'cause I think he could have come back out of it, especially if he was. He admitted he had sex with this girl, but it was consensual. I don't know. I don't think he. I don't know if he knew for sure she was 17, but then more allegations came out. It's just something you just like. You're just flabbergasted that this happened, because he kind of influenced a lot of the outlaw comics that I'm buying today. I got real into Grips. I got, the first appearance of a lot of characters that were outlaw, considered outlaw comics. And I was into outlaw comics in the 90s, because I was into Faust and I was into some darker books from North Star and Rebel, Tim V. Hill books, and he exposed me to so much more. I don't know. I was really affected. I psychologically I was very saddened, and I couldn't watch basketball the rest of the basketball game. I shouldn't have opened up Twitter. I should have waited until the next day, because it just hit me hard, and that's all I could think about. And then I read the suicide note, and it was just too much. Yeah, social media is crazy. I wouldn't want to be a kid or a teenager today, and I'm very thankful to God that I didn't grow up with that. Everything was paper. There wasn't computers until later in my career. In high school, I think, is when the first computers came out, and I was coding on a Commodore 64, but there wasn't a lot of social aspect to any of that shit. It was like you go and do your work on the computer, and then the mainframe was all just connected to the mainframe, and yeah, I'm just saddened by it. So I got off topic there, but I don't know where I even was. That's how bad it was. Oh, we were talking about the top five artists and writers. Todd McFarlane, even though he doesn't draw anymore, he still draws covers. He's always going to be in my top five. I still like Silvestri. He did that Batman 12-issue series that was really, really awesome to look at. I'm still a hardcore Liefeld fan, in terms of art. I don't like feet. There you go. Eric Larson. Oh, how could I forget him? Writer and artist. He's just fabulous. Charles Forsman. Oh my God. I hate this fucking world. And what's that other book? Oh, everything he's done has just been fucking phenomenal. A matter of fact, I haven't seen anything from him in a while. I'm gonna have to Google it. But I like bought every one of his books that, and I've seen every one of his Netflix shows that came out. He's amazing. So there's a couple that I could just name off the bat. There's several. Philip Kennedy Johnson, I love his writing. If he's doing when he was doing Superman, and now he's doing Green Lantern War Journal, which is one of my top favorite reads. Fantastic. So I think it went above 10, but that just throws some of the names out there for you. I'll save some of the rest for later, and then I have a lot to talk about on this previews. I ordered a previews. I used to have all these previews, and then I threw them out, just like the Wizards. So now I'm trying to buy some of them back, because I have such fun. These are like pockets of history I love. This is September 1992, Volume 2, Number 9. The Death of Superman. So let's see, let's jump in and see what was coming out that month. Let's start with Aardvark Vanaheim. Cerebus 164 was coming out. Just to give you an idea, Cerebus was a very long run series. I've never read it, but I was well aware of it. Dave Sim did the work. I think he went a little cuckoo towards the end, but I don't know much about him. I know of Dave Sim through Spawn. I think it's Spawn number 8 or 10. McFarlane hired a lot of people because people were saying he can't write, and I think he can. He does do stuff a little more decompressed than I would like, but I always thought he was a good storyteller. Black Commando, Dark Domino was coming out from AC Comics. They're still around. A Femme Force, just to give you an idea. 55. I'm a late comer to Femme Force, but I really love it. Good Girl Art Quarterly number 10. I have a couple of these Good Girl Arts. Jungle Girls number 11. These ones I'd like to get, but they're very hard to find. Roy Watt Rogers Western Classics. TV's Original Sheena. So there's some that were coming out. I'll skip some of the publishers that I know nothing about. Adventure Comics, we had Dracula the Suicide Club. Now that's one I would like to get. We had Merlin, I would love to get. These are ones that I'm very interested in, and I only have a handful of them. Monster Posse number 2, Pendulum number 1, and Space Patrol number 1. Aerosol Comics, which did a lot of. I only have a handful. Let's see if I have any of them that are. They tend to be a little more adult. They had Hooters number 4 by Don Lomax. I would like to get a copy of that. King Arthur Uncensored number 1. Peter Yu's Gauntlet. This one I do have. Shimandar Book 4 Slashdance. They have a book called Manzine. Where's that? Oh, that's Antarctic Press. Another one that I've really am a big fan of now. Gold Digger was still being published, but it goes back to number 2. Furlough, they're publishing a new Furlough, but it's like 100 and something or 200 and something. So that's a long-running series. AOK, Manzine, and Star Trekker. Twilight X Interlude. Don't know what that is. I don't have a lot of back issues for Antarctic Press, but I'd get them because I'm a fan of that company and they're still publishing good right now. Hope it stays that way. Archie had Archie 408, Archie and Friends number 3. I miss Archie on a regular basis though. We get 2 books a month if we're lucky, and then. You get the Digest and Jumbo. You get Betty number 4, Jughead 42, The Mighty Mute Animals. That's like a TMNT thing. I never heard of that. They had a source book, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures 41. I don't have too many adventures books. I think I have number 1 and 2. Sonic the Hedgehog number 1. That would be a good one to have now. We have TNMT presents April O'Neil. Zen Intergalactic Ninja. I have some new stuff from Zen Inter. That was from Devil's Due, but I think that's the most of the Devil's Due stuff. They had a book called Wild West Cowboys and Moo Mesa based on ABC's new Saturday morning series, which I've never heard of. And there you go. Blazer Studios looks like they had an interesting book that I don't know if it was ever published, but it was by Daniel A. Reed. It's called New World Order. The solicit reads, "A constant struggle for survival in the decayed urban environment known as the zoo." Is the backdrop for New World Order, a 4-part limited series filled with action adventure and a strong John Byrne Neil Adams influence. Oh man, I gotta look at this thing. Our heroes are war thing, a one-man army like one man arm Omak, and Photon, a woman who shares a powerful link with her poodle named Animus. That sounds fascinating. Together, they struggle to survive in a realm of egomaniacal main man and mall zombies. I'm gonna go check to see if this book exists in my database right now. So we got New World Order. Hey, there is one. And it's there. Yeah, there. Should be. I wish I could see a contents of it. See, it says Daniel reads scripts and draws New World Order for his own Blazer Studios, although the covers may not draw the attention of a jaded comic book reader. This is one of the most innovative comics available today. Reed creates an entire world while avoiding the same tired stereotypes. In many ways, his ability to create mythology is reminiscent of his best efforts of the create Jack Kirby. Oh my God. Let's go to my comic shop and see if they have this. My comic shop, New World Order. New World Order. Everything I've read so far has got me sold. They have 2 of 8 in stock. eBay has one. $1.99 at Bargain Commander. Huh. I am very tempted with this series here. I can only get 2 at my comic shop, though. But see, this is the fun shit that I want to know. I'm gonna skip Boneyard Press. Oh, that looks interesting. But I'm gonna stop there at Blazer Studios and go into the weekly reads. I'm getting really lackadaisical in my weekly reads. I hope you forgive me. Let me know if it's okay with you that I'm getting lackadaisical in it. But I'm going to take a quick pause for the cause. And that means I'm going to make some totals and then I'll be right back. All right, I'm only going to do 1 week because I think Barb's coming home soon. But we got a lot of 4 out of 5 movies. We've got Trunk Locked In. This is an entire almost 2 hour movie about a woman that gets abducted and she's in the trunk. It is really pretty well done. It was I think it was on Amazon Prime and or Hulu, and it was subtitled. Drive Away Dolls, that was a movie I'm gonna have to try to remember what the hell it was. Oh, Drive Away Dolls, I saw at the theater. That was about two lesbians renting a vehicle to go to Florida, and they had something in their trunk that was a suitcase that had something in it. And it was something very surprising. it was pretty damn good. We have Resurrection Country. This is where 4 people are going camping in Arkansas and get hunted by a town cult. We have Naked Fear. That was a stripper is hunted down, but you can see I watch a lot of movies about people being hunted. I don't know what that thing is. A stripper being hunted down by a hunter, and she gets revenge and then hunts down the men. Very typical, but it was pretty well done. Black Demon is a oil refinery causes a town to fall apart as it's haunted by a god and a megalodon shark. Sounds ridiculous. It kind of is, but it was fun. We have Murphy's Law. Charles Bronson is a detective is hunted down by a woman who wants revenge from the past. That one I started on the airplane from Hawaii, but there was a strip scene, and it was even though it was mild at a strip club, I decided to turn it off because I was like, oh, what's looking over my shoulder on the plane, and watch it later. We had Madam Web. I gave that a 4 out of 5. It was really good. It was a real surprise, as this Madam Web origin tries to save. She tries to save three women who are going to murder Ezekiel, who's also a comic book character in the future, and become Aranya, Spider Woman, and Spider Girl. So it has a lot of continuity threads. You don't see a lot of them as those characters because they'll become those characters in the future, but it was an interesting story. So if you're going to see a bunch of costume heroes, you're not going to see it much except for Ezekiel is in a spider-esque suit, but nobody else is really wearing the suits until the future, which there are a couple scenes that cut to the future because they're visions. But I really liked it. It was way better than I thought it would be. Rear View, a woman is hunted by a group of people from a gas station. That was a weird one. And it was one of those one. She was a musician with a guitar. I remember that. And she was trying to get to her gig. And from the point that she arrives at the gas station to the end of the movie, it's just chaos. 3 out of 5 comics. We have X-Men Red 16 and 17, War on Mars, and Unholy Alliance with Storm and Apocalypse. Like I said, the only thing that keeps me reading that is Storm. It's written pretty good, but she's the only character I care about in that bunch. We have 4 out of 5's One Hand. A detective in the future is retiring, but stops his retirement to go after a Red Hand murder he's been chasing for years. We have Gru, Gods Against Gru. Gru wants to kill everyone, but they play dead to get rid of him. Several get a ship to get all the gold and jewels, but they end up sinking because of the sheer weight, and Gru ends up where he started, and that's the fourth issue of that as the final issue. We got Faust number 9, Dr. Yuri betrays M, only to be killed. Faust deals with the inner demons as he tracks down M. Claire seduces Jade. It's another Eugeorgi. And finally, Faust jumps in to kill M. We have Immortal X-Men number 16. Sebastian Shaw goes in for the kill on Professor X. Professor X turns him away and looks like a team up. He's going to team up with Apocalypse. We have Cobra Commander number 1, the origin of Cobra Commander, and he is a trans has Transformer technology and is going to use it to become the leader of his snake cult. We have Ghost Machine number 1. This is Geiger, Redcoat, unnamed, and how all these characters are related. There's a Rook story by Johns and Fabok about a post-apocalyptic scenario and guys with masks that can control animals. You got the Rockefellers as a family of future trying to live in the now but being chased. Hornsby and Halo are two baseball players as teens pressured by their parents, and they're really an angel and a devil. And then you have a Hyde Street story. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Again, 4 out of 5. Everything here is a 4 out of 5 except I have a couple of 5 out of 5s. The 3 out of 5 was X-Men Red. We have Crashdown number 1. This is a Whatnot comic. Whatnot Massive. They keep changing their fucking name. And I just file them all under Whatnot because it's just easier for me to remember them like that. Because there's like three publishers underneath that title, and they can't make up their mind who's publishing them. A group from Earth goes into hibernation to get to another planet. A couple on the trip, one ages and one does not. There's a Cthulhu-like beings on the planet they're trying to find food on. So they didn't end up at their destination, but they ended up waking up early and then having to try to find food on the nearest planet. Very similar to things we have seen before, or tropes we've seen before, but really well executed by Comic Tom and his collaborator for sure. If you listen to their YouTube or watch it, we have Savage Dragon 267, The Marriage of Amy and Frankie and Their History and Sexual Exploits, and their two backup stories of Vanguard from Megaton. I kind of skipped those because me and Bill had just read all of the Megaton series, which I really enjoyed. Got Night Thrasher number one. This one I wasn't gonna pick. I was like, I'll just read it digitally. But I saw the copy at the comic store, and I thumbed through it, and I said, "Damn, I've been reading these new Warriors comics again, and I really want to know. I really liked Night Thrasher back in the day, so I want to get it." I was really happy. Dwayne comes back from the dead to disband his company. Turner in town for the funeral of Seal's father and to disband his company. So Turner is Night Thrasher, Dwayne Turner. He has a run-in with kids that are stealing from stores that leads him to confront Rage. A Silhouette gets her brother out of prison to see their father before he dies. Really good comic, especially because I'm getting back into that world and just reminding myself of who all these characters were. I really thoroughly enjoyed that. We have Duke number one. Duke has a run-in with a Transformer and loses his friend. G.I. Joe wants to keep it confidential for whatever fucking reason. They don't want to believe him. But Duke goes undercover with a conspiracy theorist and discovers Destro's company. It's really cool how they're intertwining this with the Transformers book. Pine and Merrimack is number 5 out of 5. Love this. A husband and wife detective agency takes a case to find a missing girl that reminds her of her dead sister, which she promised she'd never do cases like this again because she used to be a detective and it just brought her down. It leads them to a motorcycle gang and a POC from there, so they get a point of contact to go after them. And I already read issue 2, it's really good. We got Wonder Woman 4 through 6, Tom King, 5 out of 5. This series is just it's really, really good. Wonder Woman gives a child a last wish on Paradise Island, which it's a boy, and she puts him on there. As President prepares to go to war with the Amazons, Trinity finds a Black Mercy. It's up to Robin and John Kent, Superman, to get her back. Wonder Woman clashes with the team of villains brought to bring her down. A bunch of Wonder Woman villains, essentially. Grail, Grail from the Justice League comic, that's Darkseid's daughter. Dr. Psycho, Triangle Man, Giganta, Silver Swan, and Cersei. She was drawn into battle by Steve Trevor, who was being controlled by Dr. Psycho. Also had Wonder Family wanting to help Wonder Woman, but they lost their challenges because if they won the challenges, Wonder Woman would let them help her, but Wonder Woman let them help anyway. All of the Wonder Girls, Cassie, Donna, and Yara Flores. So there you go. I want to thank you for listening. I'm sorry I was in such a hurry. I still have to go over my comic shop. I hope you enjoyed the questions. I hope you enjoyed the recent purchases. I hope you learned something about what was happening during the death of Superman in the previews. And I hope you enjoyed my recap of some of those series. I want to thank you for listening. Please leave feedback on the shows. You can on Facebook and on Twitter, X, and Blue Sky. So you can at My contact is at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, X Blue Sky, and my email is mike@comicbooknoise.com. Please leave me email, and I'll gladly. And you can also go to Geek Brunch Podcast and comment on the website, or go to Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the threads there, episode threads there, and love your comics. Read more comics and enjoy your comics. You guys take care, and I'll see you in a week. Hopefully, I'll be able to record one more of these tomorrow, and that way I can go over the purchases from my comic shop. So, you guys take care, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.